We're live, hold on.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to ABL Pod Damn It, where pigs fly and Troy is booty.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's me, the often imitated world heavyweight champion, king of budding sensation of innovation, and the leader of the Republic Nation here with public enemy number one, Mr. Gary Altman. Mr. Gary Altman, how are you doing this evening? Howdy-ho, neighbor.
I'm doing great. How the hell are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm going to go ahead and fix the intro starting next week because I didn't realize until I got these headphones that it actually goes up higher towards the end of the song. So that will be fixed. Today was the, for 150 players in the ABL's favorite day, it is the day of reckoning, arbitration day. This time last year, we had seven guys take the qualifying offer of $15 million. This year, only one did. That would be middle reliever Henry McGowan in Duke City. He played 40 games last year. So Troy said he wanted him, and he got him. He accepted a $13 million raise. Aside from that, there's some big contracts given out in Arby. We had Las Vegas give everybody like bank. He lost. I don't know if he lost or won, but he has three guys making 12.5 plus. Alan Cox, Ralph Blair, and Sean Brooks, aka his three best players outside of Yamasaki. We can go on and on about this today, Gary. We won't though, because there is just, a boatload of stuff to talk about. Because Friday is the best part of the off season. It's the free agents declaring their intentions. So we're going to touch on the Davis effect, or what I like to call it. We're going to touch ever so briefly on revenue sharing results. And here we go. It's called, we talked about the revenue sharing, and that's it. Talked about it yesterday.
There we go.
We already talked about the qualifying offer. For some reason, we're only on the stream for 30 minutes today, but that's okay. We're on 15 plus 15. I don't know what happened. I don't know if I didn't click it or what happened. But either or, not a big deal. The upcoming free agency class, Gary, and we're going to go off the cuff, no researching, Gary, as we're talking. I'm going to ask you, and you're going to tell me what you think of the player. And today's episode is called Davis Does Dallas, and this episode in honor of Scotty Davis, one of my probably my newest favorite GM in here, mostly because, he likes to fucking talk on G-Chat like everyone else. Do you have any funny Scott Davis stories, Gary?
No.
No? Excellent. Okay. I would just like to thank Davis for teaching me what Giphy was because, I'm sure that's driving a lot of people crazy. And by a lot of people, I mean Gary. But Gary, today we had arbitrations happening. We had, the off-season center finally populated correctly. McGowan of Montreal getting quite possibly the biggest two-year deal ever. 2 years, $70 million total, $35 million a year in Montreal. No surprise, Montreal is going to have the biggest budget ever for player payroll in one season that I can remember. It's going to be over 160. That means Enrique Cano of Georgia is listed as the number one free agent. We have German, Rob Young, another solid starting pitcher. We have Campos, Moreno, Weber. And, of course, the big boy, Will Pay Me Bitch Tucker, which is going to be the prize of the offseason, I would imagine. Yeah.
Tucker is going to be one hell of a signing for somebody.
He's a lefty, too,
homers,
man.
280 average. 80 RBIs and 81 RBIs this past year. The year before, 307, 29 homers, 84 RBIs. I kind of feel sorry for Minnesota losing him. But like Minnesota said, and Alan said, he's like, well,
he wants
to test free agency. So
there he
goes. 25 years old. This is a guy in
26,
he's
right?
He's going to be 26 next year. He's
okay.
25 right now in game. He doesn't turn 26 until February 28th. This guy is going to command one hell of a salary. He made this past year 9.3, up from 3.6. He is going to command one hell of a contract.
He's an MVP.
He's in the minor leagues, he was an MVP, a Gold Glove winner. two-time All-Star in the major leagues, ABL. He made the All-Star game in 26. This
right.
guy, he might get what they call two bites of the apple. He might get a good contract now for 5 years and then turn around and get another great contract.
If you had the money, what would you pay him?
$25 million?
He's going to get 20 to 25, and here's something to think about.
He's compensation eligible. He's not going to sign right away, no matter how many people are in the vapor trail, if you will.
Unless you're offering 40 million, you have to wait.
No, I think he waits. And here's the thing that's going to happen in 17. And we haven't talked about 17 at all, OOTP 17. When you offer a guy a contract, there's now a buyout option in there that you can offer the guy. So
what do you mean?
You can offer a guy, let's say, I'm just playing with one of my guys, Matt Howard, just for kicks and giggles. There's a team option, a player option, a vesting option, but there's a player opt-out clause now included in it, which is right by the promised roll and the trade no trade clause in 16. In 17, just above that, they put a player opt-out clause, and you can do that after year 1, 2, 3, or 4. This is
player
a guy.
Player opt-out.
A player opt-out. So you
like
might give him a
deal,
5.
Right, is what you're saying?
Yeah, pretty much. Exactly. You know what? You can offer him 4 years at $30 million, and he's going to want an opt-out after 2. So if he's performing well and can get a raise, he opts out. If not, he stays. So
I kind of like that deal.
I don't know. I see pros and cons with it. You know what?
Is it the same as a player option, or is it the same as a player option, or is it a completely different thing?
It's a player opt out. So
but is it a player option, a player opt out? I mean, I generally don't know.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's pretty much the same thing, but here he can opt out. Well, here's the difference. A player option, usually the options are the last 1 or 2 years of your contract. So you give a guy a 5-year contract and you want to do a team option, player option, vesting option. So all of a sudden he can opt out after the second year, never triggering those options at the end of the contract. So you can give a guy a 10-year contract. You can go nuts, give him a 10-year contract, front-load the contract if you got the money for it, put less money on the back end and give him an opt-out to make it. There's ways. I'm not going to say you can game the system, but you can get him to accept your offer.
But you can game the system. No, it's not even like that. It's giving a player an option to opt-out. I actually really like that because there's going to be some times
I do too.
Where, you know, you only want them for 1 year, but if you give them a 4-year deal with an opt-out after the second year and you're offering them low money in the second year, you can kind of go $25 million year one, you know, $5 million year two with a player opt-out, and you can, you know, 10 to 15 to 20 million the last 2 years and make it worth his while to stay cheap within your budget that year if you need to have that budget open for something else. I actually really like that. This is
I think it's going to be great.
Dude, can you not see through the computer screen the wheels turning in my head right now? I mean, I'm loving this. Let's get over there and let's get freaking Dane Reagan on that damn contract, buddy. Let me give him a one plus one or a 2+1. I mean, a 1+1 with a 1 after it.
No,
I mean,
you can give him a 5-year contract and a player opt out after 3. And
can you put a team
option
on a player opt out? Yeah, interesting. So you can try to, you know, give a player a big cheap first couple of years, it's great for players trying to rehab their value too. I mean, like a Scott Kazmir, I wish the Dodgers would have done this year, giving him a 1+1 opt out. You know, if he does great, he leaves. But if he does good, you know, I mean, excuse me, if he does great, he leaves. But if he does bad, he has a little insurance as well. I actually really like that. I actually really, really like that. I think you can do a lot of fun stuff with that.
So if the game carries over and he's not signed by January 1st and we go into 17, there I can definitely see Vaporlock leaving a vapor trail of an opt-out, a player opt-out.
this puts a lot of people back in the game for Vapor Trail. I mean, that puts me in the game for Vapor Trail when I probably wouldn't have been otherwise. I could go cheap next year when I make a lot of money and then say, hey, you know, you play for me cheap the first year, you can get a title maybe, you know, get a title and then do like a $30 million in 2 years when I have no money on the books. You can really get creative with it. And I'm not saying I'm offering them that, Gary. I'm just saying that you could really get creative. I did not know that, and I'm excited to check into that game engine vision.
I am not offering that. I got budget issues coming up in 2029. No, I'm pretty good there in 2030. It's 2029 that's going to be my bugaboo. 2030, my payroll drops like $15 million, and I should have increased revenue. So I should be all right there. But no, I got to start looking this year and start preparing for Armageddon Day. And I think I'm going to be okay.
This is what we were talking about, Armageddon Day. And I do want to mention it briefly. It's just really keeping an eye. I mean, revenue sharing, whether you like it or not, whether you're a fan of it or not, is in the game right now. It's under the current ABO rules. It is what we go by. It is our Bible. So just be ready for it. I mean, if you like it or not, I mean, whether you like it or not, it's happening. You know what I mean? Whether
Listen,
I like my kids getting older or not, it's happening. Just prepare for it, you know? You can prepare for it. Gary, there is ways to
prepare
for it.
It's been there since day one. It's
right.
been the same thing since day one. The
right.
only thing different now over the last 3 years is three game years. Is that now this is the second year that the game is handling it because it's finally done right and the percentages changed. Percentages changed because we got four new teams that we've just taken on.
It'll
okay.
be interesting, man. It'll be interesting to see what happens going forward. It's going to be very, very interesting. People should keep an eye on it, though. Just keep an eye on your situation. It's in the game. You can't do nothing about it. Just make sure you're ready for it. That's the only thing I can say, dude. Just make sure you're ready for it because it is coming, whether you like it or not. Dun, dun, dun. Right, I'm on. I can't wait to get in 17.
That
you
it
also
is.
mentioned that in 17 there's a game option where your manager may or may not like people. I'm kind of pissed off that my pitching coach hates all my pitchers. That's kind of concerning. I mean,
he
I
hates
looked,
them now. It's okay.
Yeah, I converted.
But,
I was a little bit. I was curious, and like he hates all but two of my guys. So that's a little weird. He's a pitching coach.
You know what? It's also based on what he was in a previous lifetime. Like looking at my current manager, not me,
and by the
Randy
way,
Hugger.
And by the way,
but wait a
if
minute,
you
wait
have
a
17
minute.
People,
my guy,
you
my
should
guy was a former hitting
it.
Coach. My guy
okay.
was a former hitting coach, so he has a higher influence on just about all the offensive players on my team, and he has a better relationship with all the offensive guys on my team. However, he has no lower influence on any pitchers, and he has a worse relationship with every pitcher on the board. It's kind of comical. So his reputation as a decent manager in 17. He's probably a better hitting coach, but that's why he gets along with all the hitters. So it's a good thing I got better pitchers that don't really need his input on things. So what were you going to say when you were trying to interrupt me three times?
I don't remember now. Probably wasn't important then. Good job. No, I don't remember what I was going to say. Surprise, surprise. If you have 17, I suggest because Goldie's going to – we can either convert and download the new file in 17 on 1-1 in-game, or we can download Goldie's new file. I just converted because I was curious what everything was going to look like, so I went ahead and did that. And there's a lot of new features. Like, obviously, ABL is one of two leagues I play online or two or three online leagues I'm in, but I don't play at all offline because it's boring to me. But it could help you just get familiar with the engine because shit's in different places, and the game engine looks completely revamped, just where everything is. And there's a lot of little stuff you can look at before. Like you can see what your coach favors and other coaches and et cetera, et cetera. But, Gary,
mm-hmm.
let's talk about Rule 5 and how crazy Rule 5 is going to be. For those of you who did not earn a prospect, for those of you who were not in the chat room and are not aware, Rule 5 is going to be off the hizzy this year as all the one players via the contests and submitting ballots are going to now be eligible for drafting.
And the prize of the players that were given away went to Georgia. Jose Destiny Alomar.
Yeah,
16
he's 16
years old, 3.5 stars potential.
He's stupid though. But he's 16. But he has a full mustache.
16, yeah, with a little thingy under his bottom lip. I'm not sure what they call that. Anyway, he's probably right now delivering pizzas in a porno. But his contact is 74, gap is 63, home run is 92. The guy steals. The only thing he doesn't really do is play the outfield well. This guy,
when,
16 years
long ball.
Old. Oh, he's gonna hit 40 home runs. It's gonna be sick.
At 19.
Yeah. And this here is the kicker. He's going to be 16, and Jesse either has to protect him, put him on his 40-man roster now, or expose him in the Rule 5 draft.
I will take him.
I've thought about taking him as well, carrying him for the year. He'll be the youngest player ever to be on my team. He won't be the youngest player ever to play in this league because Sir William with Nottinghamshire in 2012 played 16 years old and had 200 hits. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
He got flamed out, but it was just sick. But Alomar, here, even if he demotes him and uses up three options, at 19 years old, he's going to be on a major league roster. At 22 years old, he's going to be eligible for his first free agency. Gonna be sick.
Oh,
this guy
Gary,
can go to the free agent route three different times.
So real quick, you're talking about created players, and he wasn't created; he was auto generated, so it's not the same thing. But this year, that Goldie, for whatever reason, wanted to give each division winner a chance to create a player as well. I think it's kind of his middle ground with Christian, right? To let the top teams in each division create a player, and I'll get to create two players this year, and I would like to officially announce that ABL will be – I don't know the names of the players yet, but they're going to have the same first, the same last name, and the first name is going to be the same first letter. They're going to be former conjoined twins. So I'm excited. I'm excited. Where was I going with it? It was worth it, right? It was worth it.
Conjoined twins. That's going to be a first. Are they going to be the same sex or?
Yeah, they are. Oh, dude, I already got a PR I'm working on. It's going to be great.
Okay.
A lot of people
are not really sure where to go with that, but yeah, whatever.
and I'm not. I don't think it's funny. I mean, it is what it is. I just.
Oh, it's hysterical. Oh, who are you kidding?
Well, right.
You only live once.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah, I'll send you a picture of them. I was Googling and just messing around, and like I was Googling for twins because my brother's best friend is pregnant and they're having twins, and I Googled twins clothing, and then I was on Arnold Schwarzenegger and the Danny DeVito photos, and then I came up with this picture, and I was like, okay, this is what the creative player is going to be. So could have been twins, but these are going to be formerly separated at birth conjoined twins. So
maybe we can commission Jesse to make a, you know, to do an artist rendition of what they look like.
Oh yes, I believe that's actual. I think that's actually Jeff. But yeah, I'm already thinking about hitting him up for it.
Jeff, I'm sorry, I said Jesse, didn't I?
Yeah, no,
sorry,
that's okay.
Jesse. I know
you
can't draw.
Yeah, I mean, is that a? Not that I want to get into this, but is that a normal thing? I mean, it's not that unheard of, right? I mean,
Siamese twins? No, it happens. It's. I guess with the advent of the prenatal vitamins, it doesn't happen as much. I guess I don't know.
Okay, I'm going to get off this website because I'm kind of. Is it always the same sex or no?
I don't know. I was never a conjoined twin.
We are extremely breaking news.
That is an excellent picture you sent me. Holy crap! You should be ashamed of yourself.
That's actually the first thing.
My God.
We are as far off topic as we have ever been on Poddammit, so we'll go ahead and scoop right off of it. I mean, it's kind of odd.
Holy
it's kind of
crap.
It's kind of topical. Gary, I would like to mention
that. Oh, it's topical. I'm not sure where this picture belongs, whether it's in Poddammit or if it belongs in off topic, but
it's going somewhere.
No, it's already there.
good job, Gary. Actually, you know, you could have went on Poddammit considering we and for those of you
That's
who don't go
it.
To Slack for, yeah, and for those of you who don't go to Slack, it gives you a reason to go to Slack to see what the hell happened.
Oh.
So we
yeah,
have about 10 minutes
of stuff
left
going on there today. Oh my God.
Yeah. So why were you baiting Troy? Why were you baiting Troy?
Wasn't baiting Troy.
Okay.
I know I was correct. So, you know, in a 3-minute Google search, all of a sudden different teams have different, you know, ticket prices, but whatever. He knows, so we'll let him know. But
yeah,
that's okay.
I'll send him that link.
Let's move on to the trading block. Jason, Goldie over there, has got double work score up for sale. Ivan Zubala. Guy can hit. 31 years old. He hit 336 last year in 27. 353 in 26. The guy can easily put up 200 hits if given playing time.
I don't love his rating,
somebody,
but he performs.
You know, it's all about the performance.
So, okay, so wait, real quick.
I'll pull him up now and give a little doodad about
Kelly. I'm going to keep talking.
We mentioned that
Tucker is – I was looking through the free agency a little while ago, and I forgot I tabbed it. We mentioned Tucker is going to be a free agent, but Minnesota's also losing Andrew Weber, his other superstar player who had 41 home runs last year, who drove in 118 RBIs.
The nickname Lloyd.
No, Andrew Weber. He's a different guy.
Yeah, Andrew Lloyd Webber, the nickname Lloyd.
Okay, well, either way, he's losing.
You really got to get up on your Phantom of the Opera and stuff. You got to see both plays.
We're also, I am going to see the Book of Mormon this summer, so that'll be fun.
There you go.
Fernando German, also from Fuck Jersey, 40 home runs, 106 RBIs, 100 walks, one of the best players in the entire league, is also hitting free agency. He's a switch hitter. That's what she said. A switch hitter who has no preference. He hits lefties and righties equally. He's an absolute fucking monster. So we have three legitimate superstars hitting free agency this year. German, Tucker, and Powell. Or German, Tucker, and Weber. Three legit superstars. Oh, and the elephant in the room. I meant to mention him. Lee Chu U, the guy from Montreal who's been there forever. You know, Mr. batting title, hit 356 last year, 394 on base. I mean, he's an absolute star player, 27 home runs, 107 RBIs. He's also in free agency now. He's 38 or 37.
Rookie of the year, an all-star.
Oh, yeah.
A decade later wins the Silver Slugger in right field this year.
And we have Tucker, Chavez, Clark, Bishop, and Hernandez, all three of which are starting ABL-level catchers. There is a lot of players hitting free agency this year. They may not all be super-duper star players, but there's a lot of starting positional caliber players this year, like a lot. Middle relief is extremely, extremely weak, though, aside from Express Powell.
Probably the team that could least afford to lose anybody is Minnesota and Jersey.
Who's losing him? They're losing everybody.
And both of them are getting lit up like a Christmas tree.
That's what happens when you don't spend your money in revenue sharing, but I digress.
They might have spent it. I don't know.
Well, you mentioned we only had two teams. Okay. So, I'm going to go ahead and round up like an asshole. Okay. So, Edmonton had 3.9 million people come through the turn gates. Okay. So, I'm going to count those as 4 million people. We had 21 teams get 4 million. We had 21 teams have 4 million people get through the gate. We then had Quebec, 16. Brooklyn, and – no, 21 teams had over 4 million people. I'm looking right now.
No.
Including –
That wasn't what we looked at yesterday. It was 16, and then 3.4 million, I think, was 24.
No, you're right. I'm rounding up. Okay, 21 teams had at least 3.9 million people through the gate. 24 teams had at least 3.45 million get through the gates. That is absolutely absurd that we had 24 teams have 3.5 million more get through the turn gates. And I think, and I'm only going to mention it last time, that just looking at that alone, revenue sharing is what revenue sharing is, but looking at we have 3.5 million people and they're making that much less revenue, I'm going to propose to Goldie that we make everybody's season ticket prices, or not season tickets, but everybody's ticket prices out there transparent. Everyone in the major leagues knows what everyone's paying out anyways. This is going to help the teams below them. This is going to help the teams that are at the bottom. Like Georgia had 4.1 million people get through the stands, through the turnstiles. Ninth overall was only charging like $14. I was charging $40. So me at 4.1 charging $40 versus him at 4.1 charging $12, the amount of money I made over Georgia is fucking ridiculous. Because he had no idea what people were talking
about. Listen, I'm right there with you. Last year, not last year, 2026, I charged $18.50 to get through the gate. Sold 4 million and change tickets. This past year, I bumped it up to $28.50, a $10 raise. Almost a 50% increase, and I still had 4.1 come through the gate. You shouldn't be operating at basically a 96 to 98% capacity for your stadium. What that tells me is 28.50 and bringing in 50,000 people, I have too many, my ticket prices are still too low. I need to raise the prices. My budget went from 2026, it was $130 million.
Right.
Last year, $114 and $27. I raised prices in 17 going into 28. I'm sorry, 27 to 28, and got a $42 million bump because I raised ticket prices $10.
I think I'm going to start a thread called "Show Me." I'll show you mine if you show me yours, just because I like the name of the thread. And I need to, like I said earlier, I just kind of speak. But no, I do want to, I mean, I'm going to suggest it to Goldie. I mean, and maybe you don't want to make it official, but if people don't want to make it official, I'm going to do it myself. Because when Georgia told me that I was charging $30 more than him, I almost fell out of my fucking chair. Like, because he couldn't understand why his gate was so low. I mean, he has, and again, sorry, Jesse, if I'm throwing you under the bus, 40,000 more fans than I had, and the where is that? He had 40,000 fans I had. I made $82 million through the gates, and he made $32 million. I made $50 million more than him through the gates. That is ridiculous, and he outsold me in my attendance. That is crazy. And it's not like he's a bad team. I know his fan interest is high. So it's just, you know what I mean? Just not knowing.
No, it that's exactly what it is.
You think
and
I'm
I think
off,
it'll
off
help
on that
some
one
people.
No,
I think it'll help people because I think they don't know what
I think
to charge. I mean, other things go into it, fan interest. But you know what? You can go up 6 in fan interest if you vote on the end of year awards. And you do all the stuff you're supposed to do. Not supposed to do, that you should do. You get points for that stuff. And I'm going to try and find the chart he just sent out. Of course, I can't. No, I can't find it. You talk about something. I'll look for it.
We have about 1 minute left because I accidentally set it up for 30 minutes, not 45. So this may be something you can throw in the pod dammit thread. I went ahead and threw that ticket link thread in there because I did find it interesting. Just so people, if they're reading through the podcast or I go scrolling up, they have some sort of, you know what? You know, every time I scroll up, I just see that GIF that Davis keeps posting of the women bouncing, and I just get sidetracked.
Yeah, Goldie had a great comment about that. His engineering degree couldn't figure out how they keep them in there.